Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I've been in school most of my life. All of my life, as a matter of fact, almost. And I've listened to a lot of people who teach. And there are a variety of teachers. Some are very good, and some are absolutely horrible. I know, in my experience of history professors who read their notes, of creation scientists who read their notes. Well, I can do that. Give it to me prior. But then when you read it in class on a warm Sunday or a warm afternoon right after lunch, boring. And the key to teaching, even if you're boring, the key, the greatness to teaching is found in this little kernel of truth: repetition. Because repetition is the key to learning. The key to learning is repetition. And I have been known to preach a sermon 1 year and then preach it again. I did it here. And only one had the nerve to say to me, "Pastor Dave," and I did it deliberately, "I have some notes in my Bible. Did you preach this sermon one other time?" You know who that was? Barbara Hicks. She remembered. You have to keep repeating. And that's what the book of Hebrews is doing. It's kept repeating over and over. One basic idea. So better is the new covenant under Jesus than everything else, including the Mosaic covenant, has no value in light of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? That doesn't mean that the law, as Paul said, was bad. But in comparison, when you know Jesus and the new covenant, so much better is it that everything else takes a distant back seat to what Jesus did. That's how great the new covenant that Jesus inaugurated is. On that night that we celebrate communion is a great object lesson to us all. That the new covenant that was inaugurated in Jesus' blood canceled out the entire old system. It called it shadow, dust, copy, obsolete, fading away. Did you hear that? Aren't those Old Testament stories in many ways wonderful? In comparison to what Jesus Christ has inaugurated in the new covenant, it is shadow, dust, copy, obsolete, fading away, disappearing, gone. You ever walked across a bridge? Maybe down below is a river? Can you imagine as you were walking, all of a sudden, the bridge behind you began to fade away and disappear? Could you go back? Listen to me, when Jesus inaugurated the new covenant, There was no going back. That is the point of the book of Hebrews. There is no going back. There better not be named among any follower of Jesus Christ an old covenant Christian, because the old covenant, bye-bye, ain't there, gone. Jesus has inaugurated a new way. That means this simply. In light of the new covenant and what Jesus did, there can be no retreat. Now, these precious Jewish Christians wanted to retreat temporarily to that old system to hide. They were able to do it because the temple still stood. The Jewish way of doing things was still around. But in 70 AD, God made sure that there was no retreat. They couldn't go back. The temple was imploded. Jesus said the hour was coming when you will not worship in a building, you'll worship in spirit and in truth. That means this. There is a sin that Jesus will not tolerate. Do you have a list of sins? Your pet sins? I always love it. Ask different Christians what they think. Some you'll get, well, we don't smoke and go to movies. Show me chapter and verse. God doesn't care about those things. Say, well, the body, David, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's talking about religious prostitution there. Let's get it right. If we're going to use the Word of God, let's rightly divide it. Do you have a list of your pet sins? Make sure that they're grounded in Scripture. There is one sin that Jesus will never tolerate among those who profess to know Him, and this is the one sin in which He has no patience for. We read it this morning. In the Old Testament, what really angered God was that first generation wanted to go back to what? Egypt. The sin that Jesus will never tolerate in the New Covenant is just like when the Old Covenant people wanted to go back to Egypt, and it's the same thing, the sin that Jesus will never tolerate is forsaking Him even for the Old Covenant, cannot be tolerated. That is the sin that this is being warned about in Hebrews. For Christians who profess to know Jesus, in the midst of the difficulties of life, there is no retreat from Him. Now, I will never fill a church with a lot of people, because if you preach the Word of God, 80% of the New Testament deals with some difficult subjects. And I want to show you what Jesus taught about discipleship, that the writer to the book of Hebrews is amplifying and bringing out. By way of introduction to chapter 11, what is Jesus teaching about those who are His disciples, and there cannot be any retreat from Him? He will not tolerate it. Well, it's found in Jesus' teaching. You want to know what Jesus believed? Don't ask the Pope. The Pope said, you hear Him this week. Just follow your conscience. Well, if you follow your conscience, look what Adolf Hitler did following his conscience. Look what Mao did following his, or Stalin. Or, let's not pick on those only, how about some of our politicians? Judgment begins first with us. Well, you find out what Jesus taught by looking at what Jesus teaches. You look at the Word. You don't assume, because there's a lot of bad teaching about what Jesus taught. Jesus said this in Luke 14. 25 about those who follow Him. He said this, "Now great multitudes were going along with Him." Those are the looky-loos in Luke 14:25. Jesus had a great following. How many of the followers were true disciples? There's a lot of people that are in the Christian faith, but there are a lot less who are genuine. Jesus said this, "This will empty churches." As a matter of fact, it says in John, by the time Jesus got done with His preaching, most of His disciples had left Him. So I don't ask how many people have we gained per week, but when you really preach the Word of God, like Jesus did, how many people did we lose? Jesus said this, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be My disciple."
You say, "Wait a second, Pastor Dave, we're saved by grace."
Grace doesn't change what Jesus said. If you are truly transformed by Jesus Christ and His grace, there is a perseverance in Jesus' true people. And Jesus said, if there isn't perseverance, you ain't His disciple. Did I make that up?
No.
That's what the Word says. That's why you don't listen to theologians. You listen to the Word. You cannot be My disciple if you flake out on Me. Now, let's look at those precious Jewish Christians. They were losing their property. We found out last week they were imprisoned. I don't like what I see on the horizon for us in our country. We did something today in Sunday school that I think should have surprised all of... Did it surprise the Sunday school this morning? We heard Walter Cronkite receive the award for world government. How did you? Many listened to you for years to Walter Cronkite and never knew behind the scenes he was working for a one world government. And guess who gave him the award and congratulations? Hillary Clinton. Now, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I didn't like Bush and I don't like the Democrats either. But I'll tell you something. She'll be running in 2016, and they're pushing for a one-world government. My Sunday school class, am I making that up? And I'll tell you something, who's not going into the one-world government? It's you Christians. You ain't going in there. From everything that these people are saying about the New World Order, Christianity is not going in. That means we're going to get tested in just a little bit. Get ready for it. I worry for my kids. And then we may be tempted, like these precious Jewish Christians, to go back to hide. Jesus said, you can't love your father, your mother, or your children. I saw Grace this morning holding a little baby in her hands. Can you imagine? Your love for Jesus has to be greater than that baby you hold in your hands. Jesus said, if your love for Him isn't greater than the baby you hold in your hands, you cannot be My disciple. I heard a guy say, well, I don't have to be Jesus' disciple, but since we're saved by grace, I'll still be okay. That is not what Jesus taught. You cannot be My disciple. Jesus went on to say this, whoever does not carry his own cross. Well, that's not talking about the guy that went around America with the cross. You know, I forget his name. Arthur Blessed. It's not what Jesus meant. He didn't mean carrying a little cross. He meant you have to be willing to suffer death. If it should ever come down to choosing your life or being put to death for Jesus. And by the way, we've been studying Revelation on Sunday mornings. There are going to be multitudes in the tribulation that are going to lose their life for their testimony of Jesus Christ. Think of what could happen. The iPhone now has the fingerprint thing. Do you know, once you swipe on the new iPhone, your fingerprint, Utah Data Center will have you in its database. I've told you about the Yodabyte, haven't I? Everything that you say and do is recorded. And by the way, you say, I'm not doing anything, Pastor Dave, that I have to worry about. Well, it may not be illegal today, but give the politician time. And I'll tell you something, they'll make it illegal. It even made Fox News that they're now calling George Washington and the Founding Fathers terrorists that wouldn't be welcome in today's army. You think I'm making that up? Quit listening to the mass media, six corporations that own all of the major news media. They're not letting you know. They're teaching in the U.S. military that George Washington and the Founding Fathers were terrorists that would not be welcome in today's army, military. Christians are now on list of the IRS. They were telling Christians, what's the content of your prayer? They were telling them, if you're against abortion on one Sunday, you've got to be for it the next Sunday to be fair and balanced. You think I'm kidding about that? Take the NSA operation called Google, which was started by the NSA, and every time you Google, it's recorded. And find out if Pastor Dave is crazy. I'm not. What am I saying? Right now, Christians in America have had a wonderful time that we've been free to worship, but I'll tell you something, we may be challenged in the future, and I think it may be coming unless God in His mercy stops what these crazy people in Washington are doing. You tell you how crazy they are? Weren't we fighting Al-Qaeda in 2001? Now we're fighting for them in 2013. The sin that Jesus does not tolerate is one day if they come a-knocking and they say, forsake Jesus and you will live. By the way, wait till they get all the technology in, facial scanning. Everything you do will be retina or fingerprint or cell phone. You buy something and then they don't like Christians or someone that the state doesn't like. They lock you down. Wait, they have self-driving cars. I can't wait. But then somebody said, you know what the problem with self-driving cars will be? Suppose the government doesn't like you. You take an unpopular opinion. You go to start your self-driving car. And guess what? They've locked you out of your self-driving car. Can't buy or sell. And that's what the book of Hebrews has been warning. You can do all you want about those precious Hebrews that were going back to the old covenant, but listen to me. His argument is, if under the old covenant, God said they shall not enter into my rest, how much more shall be the new covenant if my people are tempted when they come at us for being followers of Jesus Christ? How much more severe a punishment? Jesus said, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, he said this, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost? You want to know why? How an invitation should be to Jesus? You know how the preacher should really run an invitation about coming to Jesus? Count the cost. Now preachers spin it. God will be the magic genie. Just rub the magic lamp, send us some money, and you'll be blessed with all sorts of money. Jesus said, if you follow me, count the cost. That's why you'll never fill a church with this kind of preaching that Jesus preached and Jesus didn't fill. He had multitudes following him. Far fewer actually were his true disciples. Count the cost! This does bother me when I see churches that are given a thin gruel now. I look at some of the things that they hand out on Sunday morning and I think to myself, how in the wide world, unless these people are grounded in the Word of God, will they ever have enough of the Word to keep them faithful if things get bad? Jesus said this, count the cost before you become my disciple. What is the cost? Your very life. If they put a gun to your head, and by the way, this has happened in Russia. This has happened in so many countries. They put a gun to your head and say, all you have to do is forget Christianity and follow this or that. Jesus said, count the cost when that gun is put to your head. He says, otherwise, when he has laid the foundation, hasn't counted the cost, he will not be able to finish, and you will be ridiculed. Or what king, when he's sent out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and take counsel whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000, or else when the other is still far away, he sends a delegation of peace? Jesus never said, come unto me and it'll be easy, did he? He said, come unto me, but before you do, count the cost. When's the last time a preacher said in church, count the cost? You've ever heard an invitation? Come unto Jesus, he'll forgive your sins. You know, he'll be your partner in life. Jesus said, you follow me, listen to me, count the cost. That's what the writer to the book of Hebrews is talking about when he's warning them. You see the first covenant believers? They didn't enter into rest because they didn't count the cost. Jesus then said this, so therefore no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all. Could you give up all for Jesus? That's the cost. There can be no retreat. Jesus then said, if salt is good, if it has good taste, but salt that has become tasteless, you throw it out. And there's a lot of Christians that I think would become tasteless salt if their faith was challenged. Now that's what the big picture is all about in the book of Hebrews, because it's amplifying, so wondrous is the new covenant that any retreat from Jesus Christ cannot be tolerated. And in the book of Hebrews at verse 39, after he's given them four warnings up to now, he warns that his righteous ones will live by trust in verse 38. And if they don't trust God, my soul has no pleasure in that person. Now you have to understand, these precious people were losing everything for Jesus. But the cost that needs to be counted is the only thing that matters in life is Jesus, not even that little baby that sits in your lap. That's the cost. But we are not of those, in verse 39, who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith. Now that's the principle he's going to start talking about now. The cure for defection is to trust. Boy, that's easy said. That's harder done when life flips you like Magic Mountain on one of those rides. And the Lord says, trust me. That's why in 11:1 and following, He's going to explain what faith is all about. Now, here's how you can use the Old Covenant. Go back to the Old Covenant. We'll learn this next week. Go back to that Old Covenant. Look at those men and women of faith. See how they lived a life of faith and copy them. And that's what He's going to do. Which means this. You're here for one purpose. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and then learn a life of trust. And that's the purpose of why we're here in this lifelong school of learning. Trust Jesus and then live a life of faith. Because listen to me, there is no retreat for a genuine Christian.